And today's sermon is called The Power of Forgiveness. The power of forgiveness. And there's tremendous power in forgiveness. Receiving forgiveness, giving forgiveness. If you'd like to tap on your device or turn in your paper Bible to Colossians chapter 3, we'll be there in just a little while. I'm going to give you the end of the message before we get to the end. All of us need God's forgiveness. I hope you know that. I'm going to assume you do. We all need God's forgiveness because we've all sinned against God. It's caused a rift between us. It's separated us from God. And we want God's forgiveness. We want salvation. And salvation is only available through Jesus Christ. There's no other person. There's no other way to salvation. And I'm going to give you a chance to accept that salvation if you've never made that decision. We're going to do that toward the end of this message. And the other thing I want to show you about the end is that we all need to forgive one another. We're called, commanded to forgive one another. And if there's someone you need to forgive today, we'll have that chance in a little while. So that's the end. Here's the beginning. I have a question for you. I hope that you'll take a moment to really reflect on this question. But here it is. What in your past has God forgiven you for? Maybe God's the only one that knows about it, but what in your past have you been forgiven for, if you know Jesus? I'm not trying to bring up old feelings. Its purpose is to understand what Jesus has done for you, to remember what Jesus has done for you, that thing, or maybe several things you thought of, had you separated from God, and when you came to know Jesus, if you know him, you were reconciled with him, and he forgave you for that. I want you to remember that, because you don't need to feel bad. Because if you truly have received Jesus and accepted God's forgiveness, there's no need to feel bad anymore because it's as if it never happened in God's ledger. He doesn't keep records of that. It's a great thing to think about. I want you to take joy and encouragement. But remember this. As you have been forgiven, God asks you to do the same for other people. As believers in Christ, we are called to reflect his character. We're called to show Jesus to others, even other believers. We're to reflect Jesus in our lives. So if you'd go to Colossians 3, we're only going to look at three verses this morning. In a minute, I'm going to start at verse 11. I'm reading out of the NIV this morning. And the focus verse will be on verse 13. But I want to encourage you to read all of chapter 3. It'll probably take you 3 minutes to read 3. If you want to read all of Colossians, you can do that in less than 10 minutes. There's a lot of great stuff in chapter 3. We're going to look at 3 verses, but that way you can kind of see how it all fits in there. So let's it'll be on the screens as well. Verse 11 is this one. Verse 11 says, "Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and is in all." Now, you see barbarian there and then Scythian, and the one here, I don't know how it is in your version. Barbarians were what it sounds like, a barbarian, wild people. Scythians were worse than barbarians. They really lived crazy, so they were not people you really wanted to hang out with. The word "here" in the NIV, it may read different in yours. The word "here" means this world, where we live now, where we're living our lives, this life, this present time. We're reminded that even though we live in this world, God sees us, quite literally, as new creations. He doesn't see the old self. He's not worried about the old self. Once you come to know Christ, he's forgotten all that, or he's removed all that from your life. No matter what people think you are, no matter what people have maybe said about you, no matter what you used to be or how you used to act, if you know Jesus, there is no difference between what you did and what was in your past and anyone else's. There is no difference in Jesus. All of us are in Jesus. He is in us. There's no race. There's no class. It doesn't matter if someone's smarter than you or has a better job than you, makes more money or less money. All people who know Jesus are equal in the eyes of God, and it's very important to think about that and to remember that. It was a very radical teaching. Think about, even if you just know a little bit about the Jewish nation, and they were God's chosen people, and they got a little, some of them anyway, got a big head about that. And they thought, well, we're better than those nasty Gentiles. And then here comes Paul. Paul wrote Colossians, by the way. And Paul said, you know, Jews and Gentiles, there's no difference. If he had left it at that, that would have been a radical thing. But he went on and said the rest of it as well. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile, all the other things. And it's really challenging to us because we make our distinctions in our culture. It's challenging to us living in the United States in the year 2020 because we like to divide people. We like to find things to make us feel better about who we are. We get on different things and we divide people, but God says there's no difference between anybody if they know Jesus. Now, I included that verse today to put us in the right frame of mind as we move toward verse 13, because 11 helps us make sense of 12, and 12 gets us to 13. So look at verse 12. Therefore, important thing to remember, therefore, since there's no difference of Jew and Gentile and race and class and all of that, there's no difference. Therefore, as God's chosen people, that's us if you know Jesus, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Clothe yourself. You think of that word picture Paul is giving us here. You put on your clothes. You put on these things. It's reflected. People see this in you if you put them on. And so if we're new creations, as the Bible says we are, if we really believe that, then we should look like it. We should act like it. People should see and sense and see a difference in believers. They should be able to see there's something different in our lives. And it's really easy to talk about this here in a message. It's easy for me to preach and easy to nod your head. Yes, that's true, true, true. It's not so easy when you're out and about, depending on who you're with. So I'll ask you this. Are you the same person that you are at church when you're with your friends? Maybe with your friends and mom and dad aren't around. Are you the same person when you're at work? Language, the way you act, the way you speak, everything. Are you the same at school or in the same in the classroom if you happen to be a teacher? Are you the same wherever you are, no matter what, as you are when you're here? Now, if you see one or more areas in that list, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, and you think, I need to work on one of those. Maybe it's patience, maybe it's kindness, one of the others. Don't despair. Don't feel bad. This isn't like guilt trip time. First of all, I want you to remember that you live under the grace of Jesus Christ if you know him. If you know Jesus, you are in his grace. You can accept that. You can walk in grace. I realize you might fall short. I fall short too. But we walk in freedom. You have the grace of Jesus Christ. No one can take that away from you. Second thing is, remember last week, I hope, part of last week anyway, you don't have to do the work. So if, let's say you need to work on your compassion and you know it. Well, that's great. You're admitting it now. You let Jesus do the work. You take that to God. You don't say, I'm just going to be more compassionate this week and I'm going to try really hard. You're probably going to fail if you take that approach. But if you take it to Jesus and say, Lord, I've not been as compassionate as I should be. Would you help me with that? Would you walk me through this? Show me what it means, Lord. Let Jesus do the work in you. Verse 13, key verse today. I hope you'll remember this verse. I hope it rattles around in your mind during the week. Think about it. Verse 13 says this, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. I think that's a fascinating verse. And I also think it's very interesting. Paul gave these, you know, you need to be compassionate and patient and kind, all those things. He didn't do a one word. He didn't say, and forgive. He gave a whole verse, or what we have is a verse here, an entire sentence telling us what we need to do. Two sentences, actually. This whole sentence is not how you can have a better life and be happier. Now, you will have a better life and you will be happier, but that's not the reason we do it. The reason we do this is that God commands us to. If we want to call Jesus Lord, if we say, yes, Lord, I'm coming under your lordship. You are my Lord, and I confess that. That's great. If he's Lord, we have to obey him. We have to obey the Lord. And this is a command, not a suggestion. I know that it's not easy. I know from personal experience. It's not always easy. Some of you have been deeply wounded. Now, I don't know that, so if you think, how does he know that? I don't. But I know in a room with this many people, there are several people in here that have had some wounds. They may go back decades. They've been very, very difficult. So I understand. I do. Serious things in your life. But I tell you this, I also know Jesus. I also know Jesus, and I know he'll help you. I know he'll walk through it with you, whatever it is. But I say this especially to those of you that have had some really hard things happen in the past where someone's hurt you. For a follower of Jesus, it's not an option. It's a command. It's not an option. It's a command, as hard as it may be. And Paul gives us that last sentence there, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And we remember the things that we've been forgiven for in the past, the things that separated us from God. You remember your exercise earlier when we started? You thought of the things that God has forgiven you from. We need to be able to extend that to other people, to reflect Jesus to other people when they cause offense in our lives. I'd like for you to hear from a real life example for this time. It's not from my life, but I want Heidi Garber to come on up here. And she's going to tell you part of her testimony. Oh, let me get you a microphone here, Heidi. Just talk right into there, and I'm going to let you have the stage. I'll go over here.
Alexis isn't here today, but she knows I'm telling the story, and she said it was good that I'm telling it. Alexis grew up knowing two dads, her dad, Marty, and then her biological father. And he was kind of in her out of her life at a young age because soon after her biological father and I, we had a very short marriage. Soon after we were married, he became physically abusive. And to the point at one day, I actually feared for my life. I thought he was going to do it this time. He's really going to kill me. And Alexis is right there in her walkie, in her little walker, looking up and watching this whole thing unfold. And I remember thinking, I'm going to get her and I'm going to run because I don't want her to be next, and I don't want her to end up with being treated like this when she gets older. So I took her and I ran, and as Alexis got older, she had questions about that. Why are you and my real dad not together? And I always gave her an age-appropriate answer. And like when she was young, I said, well, honey, he hurt me on purpose. And I didn't want him to hurt you one day. And I didn't want you to think that it was okay to be hurt like that. And so we thought it was best for all of us. I thought it was best for you and I not to be in that situation. Well, as she got older, she still thought back to that. And she had a lot of questions. And she was working through a lot of those issues while she was going to the girls' private boarding school in Oklahoma, where a lot of you all supported her in. And it came up again. Why? What really happened? Okay, so she's well in her teenage years, and she wanted to know what he actually did. So I gave her more details of how that day unfolded, and I let her know. And that really hurt her, I know, because at that time, he's back in her life, and she's someone that she loved. And so it hurt her to think of him doing that. And she could hurt for me, too. And so she was kind of working through this while she was going down there, and decided that she was going to ask him, her dad, why did you do this to my mom? You know, what made you do that? Tell me what happened. He denied everything. He denied anything happened. I never hurt your mom. And so then she was really conflicted, and she's like, who in the world is telling me the truth now? She had no idea. And so she came to me again. She was home on one of her visits, and she goes, Mom, I asked Dad about what you said, and he told me he never hurt you. And I could see that she was really struggling with this, and Oh, if you've ever been mad, like imagine your maddest moment in your life. I was so mad. I just wanted to go and choke him, you know. And you're like, how could you deny that? Like, you have, I don't know, lose your mind or what? I was so mad. I was so angry. And we went to, while Alexis was still in school down there, it was soon after that. And I told Alexis, I said, I don't know what to say. Who you decide to believe is up to you. I can't make you one way or the other. And we went to church with her down in Oklahoma, and they had a prayer call where they invited people to come up for prayer. And I was really struggling with all this anger. I was just so mad. I was so mad at what he did to me. I was mad that he would deny it to her and make me look like a liar. And so I was up there, and I was just like, you know, angry praying. and then her counselor came up, and she goes, Heidi, what's going on? And I said, I'm so mad. I'm so mad at all. I told her that, you know, there was this conflict. Alexis didn't know whether to believe me or not. And I said, I'm mad at him for hurting him. I'm mad at him for hurting her, and I'm mad at everybody that's ever hurt her or me. and she said, Heidi, you need to tell him. She said you need to go to him and you need to say, look, you know what happened and I'm okay. She said, you have to tell him that you know what happened, but I'm okay, that you're going to be okay, and you got to tell him that. And that was, you know, not what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear how God was going to lay out his vengeance on him, you know. But I wasn't going to see that. And she knew that it was binding me, and it was binding Alexis and who knows what other relationships in my life. And so we got home, and some time had passed. Alexis came home from another visit, and it got brought up again that it was just something that she was really dealing with. And I said, you know what, Alexis, I'm going to call him up. I said, you know, you could go read the police report if you wanted to, but I'm not going to make you do that. I'm going to call him up right now, and I'm going to tell him that I forgive him. And she looked at me in shock. I don't think she knew I was going to do it. So what? I got on the phone and I went to the bathroom where moms go when they need to have an important conversation without interrupted. And I called him. I thought, maybe he won't answer. he answered. And I said, look, you know, back after we were married, and I talked about different things he did hurt me, and then that day where I thought he was going to kill me, and I said, you know, all this happened. And I said, I know Alexis has asked you about it, and you know it's something that happened between us, but I want you to know that I'm okay and that I forgive you. And I didn't feel like I had forgiven him until after I said that. I was mad when I said it. I hadn't forgiven him at all until I said, I'm okay, I forgive you. And then all of a sudden, this big wave just came over me, and I felt like a big burden had been lifted and something had been washed away. And I felt lighter, I felt happier, I felt peace in my heart. And at that point, it didn't matter if he ever said he was sorry. It didn't matter what he said, because I was okay. I forgive him. I let it go, and I was free from that. And I felt like what I was bound to and that anger was gone, and the confusion Alexis had was gone, and like it was all gone. And I can think about it now and it doesn't upset me. And the phone was silent. Like, I was like, are you still there? And he goes, yeah. And I said, well, I just want you to know I'm okay, and that's all I really had to say. And he's like, okay, so we got off the phone. And I told Alexis, I said, I forgave you. I want you to know I forgave you. And she just smiled real big and made her feel Really good. So the real point is that you're not going to ever feel like forgiving that person that has really hurt you. And I did it because that counselor told me to, and I felt that was like what God was leading me to do. Not because I felt like it, not because I loved him, not because I had any good feelings or wanted to do that, because I was still really mad until I said those words, "I'm okay, I forgive you," and I felt like it was all gone.
Thank you very much, Heidi. I think the most powerful part of her testimony, and it's the catalyst of wanting her to share that with you, was she didn't wait until she felt like forgiving him. That's so important. She obeyed first, and then the feelings came. Jesus did the work in her afterwards. Sometimes the feelings will come before. Depending on what the offense is, many times, I'm going to guess most of the time, it's going to come after the obedience happens. I want you to remember what forgiveness is and what it is not. And this came out in her testimony. It's not saying, okay, that's okay. If somebody asks you to forgive them, which wasn't the case in Heidi's testimony, you're not saying, oh, that's okay, don't worry about it. Don't say that anymore. People say that. Don't say that because the thing was not okay. Remember how she started a phone call? You remember what happened. You remember that certain day. She acknowledged this happened, but I forgive you. It wasn't okay. It would never be okay. What you're doing when you forgive someone is you're giving up your right to hold it over to them or hold it over them. You're releasing them from yourself. Don't say, that's okay. Say, I forgive you. I want to show you what I mean a little bit here. Zeke Miller is going to come up and help me with something. Zeke's a good friend of mine. While he's coming up here, my younger friends, listen, Zeke and I are just going to pretend here. He's not really going to be mean to me or say anything bad to me. This is just pretend. I don't want you guys to get worried about that. Are you ready? Zeke's going to tell me something he did, or he's going to tell me. I don't know what he's going to tell me. He's going to tell me something terrible. I better turn off the mic so they don't hear this. Why would you say that to me? I can't believe you did that. Why? Now what are we going to do? You're my enemy. Forget you, man. I don't want to talk to you anymore. And now you're going to leave. Big man. He's leaving. Except I have him on the hook. I've got him now, man. Don't you try to run away from me. I've got you on the hook. Come on, man. You got to fight me a little. I don't like you anymore. Your friends don't like me. I'm going to go tell all my friends and my family how awful you are and everything you did to me. And we are fighting, man. We are going at it. Don't ever speak to me. I've got him. I'm going to tell everybody what Zeke did and what he said to me. It's awful. The best thing to happen is that Zeke would come to me. That Zeke would come to me. Hint, hint, stage direction. That Zeke would come to me and tell me that he's very sorry for saying or doing that thing. Sorry. Okay, he said he's sorry. All right, brother, let me get this hook out of your mouth. I'm sorry for getting so angry. You got to let it go. I'm sorry for getting so angry. Listen, man, we are brothers. I'm happy to be reconciled to you. Now, unfortunately, what happens a lot of times, maybe most of the time, I don't know, is Heidi's situation. We get the hook back in there, and he's going to continue fighting me. Fight, 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 fight. And the only thing to do at some point, I could fight him for the rest of my life, or I could cut the line and let him go. That's the choice. I could sit and fight him for the rest of my life, or I can let him go, cut the line. You're releasing the other person from your hook. You're letting them go. Remember that when you let someone off the hook, or you cut the line, or whatever analogy you want to use, they're not off the hook with God. That doesn't mean you go and pray the person would, you know, get sick and God would zap them with a lightning bolt. You're turning them over to God. God does what he does with them. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. My favorite non-Bible quote on forgiveness is from the book Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. I'll show it to you on here. Everyone thinks forgiveness is a lovely idea until he has something to forgive. Forgiveness is a one-time choice. It's a one-time following what Jesus says. Working through the feelings may be a process. It may be a long process. Forgiveness does not mean the feelings will automatically go away. Sometimes they will, sometimes they won't. But there is freedom in Jesus Christ, even if those feelings hang on. There is freedom found in Jesus Christ. Remember, you are free. When I cut that line, I was free too. I was free from that tension, that awful thing. And if Zeke never reconciles with me again, and we never are friends again, I'm still free from this terrible thing that we had going on, this anger. There's freedom in Jesus Christ. And Jesus can do more in you than you ever realize, even if it's one of those really dark, deep, hard hurts from the past. He will give you freedom. Freedom. I want to show you a couple of more verses from Matthew 6, directly from Jesus. And here's the first one, Matthew 6:14. Matthew 6:14 says, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. This is coming right after the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer, in that prayer he says, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors, or it might say trespasses or sins, all the same thing. Forgive us when we sin against you, O God. We want that forgiveness. We ask him for it as we forgive those who sin against us. It's all together. It's synonymous in the prayer. It's synonymous in this verse. You can't separate the two. You can't say, well, God, forgive me. I'm going to hold this over to all these other people. But if you would forgive me, that would be great. You can't separate those things. And this is interesting. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but Jesus gives us this very well-known prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer. And the only thing he comes back and teaches on it, everything else, I guess he assumes we can understand, but he wants to go in a little bit deeper, and he gives us a couple verses on this, on the forgiveness piece of it. I think that's very interesting. That's the only commentary he gave on that prayer. And then he gives us verse 15, really drives the point home. Look at this. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now, don't take that as a tit-for-tat kind of thing. If you forgive five sins, and God will credit you five sins, he'll forgive you four. That's not how that works. I would say to read it like this. If you refuse or can't or whatever, you can't forgive someone, won't forgive someone, then probably you don't understand what Jesus has done for you. You probably don't get it. Now, thankfully, I'm not the person who decides who is saved or not, who goes to heaven, who goes to hell. God decides that, and I'm glad it's on him and not me. But I'll say this. If you can't forgive someone, if you refuse to forgive someone, maybe you don't really understand what Jesus has done for you. Maybe you don't understand what Jesus has done for you. It's very true that some things are harder to forgive, some things are easier to forgive than others. But make no mistake, forgiveness is a sacrifice. And in the long run, not forgiving someone is harder than forgiving someone. Forgiveness is a sacrifice, but I want to remind you of another sacrifice. Jesus made a tremendous sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice, so that your sins could be forgiven and my sins could be forgiven. And Jesus was the only person that never sinned, never sinned against anyone, not God, not a person. He didn't sin against any laws or anything. And yet he was arrested. He was put up on a fake trial, brought up on fake charges, and then he was sentenced to death, but before that, they tortured him. Put him on a cross like a thief, someone, a murderer, someone that had done the worst crimes. That's what crosses were reserved for. And hung him up on this cross. He was up there for hours in agony, and he died, and he was put into a grave. The third day, he rose again. We're going to celebrate that in about 4 weeks. He rose again, defeating death and offering you and me salvation if we want it. Not going to force it on us, but if we want it, we can have it. It's a free gift, this salvation. I already told you where we did up today. Do you know Jesus? I didn't say your name on the roll at the church, or you've been going to church all your life, or you're a good person. You can't be good enough. You can't be good enough to overcome all your sins. No, it doesn't work that way. Don't put your hope in being good enough. Do you know Jesus? Have you been forgiven? Have you been reconciled to God? That's at its core what following Jesus, knowing Jesus is all about, is forgiveness. So have you experienced that? Have you received it? Do you call Jesus Lord? Because you can today if you're ready, if you want to. You can do it today. Now, if you know him, if you're a believer, I celebrate with you. I'm happy. I'm a believer too. We're going to spend heaven together forever. That's great. You need to remember that you have been forgiven. Your salvation, nobody can take your salvation away. It's forever. So I'll say to you this, who do you need to forgive? It might have happened 40 years ago, 4 days ago, 4 hours ago. I don't know. Today is the day to deal with it, to take the hook out of someone's mouth, and if they won't let you do that, cut the line, and to be done with it forever, as Jesus has forgiven you. We're going to have a time of ministry. We'll see where God takes this. We have deacons and deacons' wives, and Diana is here if you'd rather talk to a female or pray with a female. And whatever you're comfortable with, I'm talking the contagious stuff too. If you want someone to pray with you, you can. If you'd rather pray by yourself or pray, if you'd like to contact me later in the week, we can do that. But Jim's going to play while we contemplate and think about what God has done in our lives, what he might be calling us to do today. Not to think about it only, but to take action. Today is the day. Maybe you need to answer the call of salvation and say yes to Jesus. We can do that today. Maybe you need to forgive someone. If you want some help praying through that, we can do that today. But I encourage you to do it, whether it's here, down here. We can have this front pew open for praying, or the steps, wherever you want to go. If you want to signal me, I'll have a deacon come upstairs if you'd prefer that. So let's do that. Let's pray and then see where God takes us. Father God, we thank you that you're watching over us, that you are present in this place today. And I pray, Lord, that if anyone needs to say yes to you for the first time, that they would have the courage to do that today, and you give that to them. I know many of the saints are already praying. If there's anyone here that doesn't know Jesus, keep praying, saints. And for those of you that know him, if this is the day you need to finally say, I need to cut the line, I need to forgive, do it. It's the command of Jesus. He'll help you, and he'll work through those feelings. I know the person doesn't deserve it. That's the whole point of forgiveness. You don't wait till they deserve it. You do it out of obedience to Jesus. So as we stay in a time of prayer, would you keep your heads down and eyes closed as much as possible? I'm going to look around in just a minute, and I'm going to ask if you, this is just if you want to say yes to Jesus for the first time, the very first time, would you just raise your hand where you are, and we can go from there. I'm not going to make you come up front if you don't want to. That's fine. The important thing is, do you need to say yes to Jesus today? I want to help you. This church wants to help you. Anybody at all? We won't draw this out. Anybody else? Okay. I'm going to leave the next part more up to you. You can pray where you are. You can come up to the front. You can go to the back, wherever you want. And you can just kind of signal me if you want someone to pray with you. So right now, I'm going to pray for you again. And then you move however you want, however God is leading, but don't be afraid. Father God, in Jesus' name, I come to you knowing that many of my friends here have experienced difficult things in the past. They may have struggled for a long time over something that was done to them. And Lord, it's wrong. We're not saying it's okay. We're not saying the person deserves forgiveness. So Lord, right now, I pray that if you need to move in anyone, you do that now, Holy Spirit. Help us to forgive. Now, saints, you can move as you want to. Jim's going to keep playing. We'll just give you a few seconds, a few moments. And if you need to do business with God, you can do it here or wherever you are. My brothers and sisters, if there's anything you need to do, whether you're doing it where you are or come up here, I encourage you to do that now. You're in a safe place. You have people that care about you here. And you have Jesus who is here. The presence of the Holy Spirit is in this place. This is the place to take care of it. Do you need to forgive? There were some working through some things where they sat, and I pray that you continue working in them. Lord, help us to take the actions that we need to take. Most of all, help us to bring everything to you and lay it at your feet. Show us how we're supposed to react. Show us what we're supposed to do. Lord, we thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for the things that we've been forgiven for. Lord, may we be a people, may Bethel be a church known for forgiveness and acceptance, bearing with one another. Lord, may we never say something is just okay just to keep peace, but to readily forgive when offenses happen. Show us what that means, Lord. Help us to put on or clothe ourselves with those things. We pray these things in the name of Jesus this morning. Amen.